singing. Thank you. Appreciate the good singing tonight and appreciate you being here. Turn over in your Bible to Proverbs 29. Proverbs 29. And thankful. Boy, I'm thankful. I was talking to somebody in the grocery store yesterday, and she said, "How is the cashier?" She said, "How you doing?" I said, "I'm doing great." And she said, "Me too." She said, "Aren't you know I get tired of people coming here complaining?" And I said, "Well, you know, when you realize you don't deserve anything, then anything you get's pretty good, isn't it?" And so I when you look at it that way, you know, I mean, if you're here and you're breathing, that's pretty good. And then if you're saved and you're not here, that's even better, right? So we don't have a whole lot to complain about, really. So God sure has been good to us. I want you to turn to Proverbs 29. I want to begin. I know in the verses there it says we're going to begin in verse 2, but I'm going to go ahead and start with verse 1. The Bible said, "He that being often reproved hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy." That's pretty powerful scripture right there, because what the Lord's saying is for us, all of us, doesn't matter if you're old, young, doesn't matter if you're male, female, if you will not be reproved, if you stiffen your neck whenever God's trying to correct us, right? He said sudden destruction or shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. And that's really whenever we say no to God enough. Right. And again, going back to Romans 1, that's really what God's saying. He said, "Look, I've convicted. I've given you the word of God. I've sent preachers. Even in our country, we've got churches that preach the word of God. And you keep saying no and you keep doing what the flesh wants to do. And finally, God says, OK, then there you go. You have it right. And sin always leads to death. And part of the reason we're in the mess we are is because we stop preaching the cross and we stop preaching about sin. We stop telling people they need to be saved and preaching that and repentance. And we're just saying, "Well, listen, you know, we're, Brother Charles, you know, we're good people. And you just add Jesus to make your life a little better than what it is." That's, we're depraved. Our whole mankind is without God is depraved. And until we get back to understanding that, then we don't really understand the grace of God that they sang about. We think, well, God, the grace is God's unmerited favor. That's definition of it. But what grace is you've got to understand the holiness of God, right? You can't have grace without the holiness of God and how totally depraved man is. So we're that far away, and the holiness of God is here, and we're so unholy. And because of that, then you understand the value of the grace of God. We don't deserve it. And so he goes on in verse 2, say, "When the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. But when the wicked beareth rule, the people mourn. And whoso loveth wisdom rejoiceth his father. But he that keepeth company with harlots spendeth his substance. And the king by judgment established the land. But he that receiveth gifts overthroweth it. A man that flattereth his neighbor, spreadeth a net for his feet. And in the transgression of an evil man, there is a snare. But the righteous doth sing and rejoice. And the righteous considereth the cause of the poor, but the wicked regardeth not to know. Scornful men bring a city into a snare, but wise men turn away wrath. And if a wise man contendeth with a foolish man, whether he rage or laugh, there is no rest. The bloodthirsty hate the upright, but the just seek his soul." Look at verse 11. "A fool uttereth all his mind, but a wise man keepeth it until afterwards. And if a ruler hearken to lies, all his servants are wicked. The poor and the deceitful man meet together, and the Lord lighteneth both their eyes. The king that faithfully judgeth the poor, his throne shall be established forever." So again, as we look at what's being written, we know that Solomon is writing because his son has the throne and he wants him to be a wise ruler. But you look at that today and say, "Well, how's that apply to me? I'm not a king, I'm not a ruler." But all of us are in some type of authority or at least under authority. And so Solomon is warning us of people that can destroy. And I mentioned it earlier. I said, you know, that God is doing something around here. And I've been doing this long enough that I've seen Brother Jerry. It seems like every time God gets to moving, the devil starts to messing. And if we're not careful, if we're not aware of it, here's what it is. He'll use people. Now, people say, well, you know, don't get upset with so-and-so because it's just the devil using them. Well, here's the problem. You don't have to be a pawn. Right? You don't have to be a pawn of the devil. Right? But there's all this debate now about demonic possession. Well, I'd say this. You don't really, if you're saved, don't have to worry about demonic possession. But demonic influence can be just as devastating as possession. And so we don't even understand half of what is going on in the spiritual realm. And so God is trying to do something in the church and the devil's fighting against it. And if we're not careful, we become the pawns of what Satan wants to do, or we become the soldiers of what God wants to do. And so, of course, Solomon's looking at those who can bring down a kingdom. And we don't look at it that way, Brother Shane. We're looking at who is Satan put in our lives that can bring down us and our life, or bring down our church, or bring down what God's trying to do. And so from personal to professional to spiritual, in every area of life, there are people Satan uses to destroy. He wants to destroy your home. He wants to destroy the church. He wants to destroy your life. He is the father of lies. And so this proverb, its common theme is wisdom. And part of that wisdom is knowing who you can trust, but also being aware of those who want to tear down. Listen, you need to be careful of people that are always tearing stuff down. Right? I don't want to be around people that tear it down. I want to be around people that build it up. Right? We're commanded to exhort and edify. That's building up, not tearing down. And so understand this. What he's talking about here is devisers of destruction, people that devise plans that are used of Satan to tear down kingdoms. And so he's telling his son, be careful, because God has exalted you or has put you in a place to rule people. And he's saying, if you're not careful, the very thing God means for good, Satan can destroy it. Well, it's no different than the church, right? It's no different in the home. It's no different in your life. What God's saying, I want to use you for, if you're not careful, Satan is there trying to undo all that God's trying to do. And so as a church, we ought to thank God for what he's doing around here, but all of us need to be on guard. Now here's the problem. In your mind, you're probably saying, yeah, oh, so and so. No, what you need to do is look in the mirror. Amen. So being aware of those who want to tear down, you know what Solomon, just stay away from them. Yeah, but you don't understand. Listen, everybody has an excuse of why they can tear stuff apart and it's justified, right? So two things I'll share with you. Number one, he deals with the strain of the throne. And verses 2 through 13, what do you mean by that? Well, he's telling his son, listen, if you're on the throne, if you're the king, there's constantly going to be people that are trying to tear down the kingdom. And so when we look at the fact that you and I are children of God, we're a child of the king, understand that there are people that are constantly going to try to tear down your testimony. And they're constantly going to try to tear up your family. And they're constantly going to try to tear up your testimony and your life and your children and the church. There's always that enemy. There's a battle. Folks, listen, you need to understand there is always a battle going on. The flesh and the spirit, good and evil, however you want to classify it, we are in a spiritual war. And what's happening is, listen, I hear all the time, would you hear about this church? They split. Why'd they split? Well, this one happened this, and this got away. And sometimes, this one ran off with this one's wife, and, well, this one's gossiping, and this one's kids mad at that one, and the youth leader did this. And I'm saying he's wreaking havoc, so let's not be a pawn of what he's doing. And so how do we do that? That's the question. We can identify it, but how do we do that? Well, he's telling his son, he says, listen, there's some people you got to stay away from. There's some people you got to stand on guard against. And he deals with that in verse 2. He says this, when the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice, but when the wicked beareth rule, the people mourn. So we have to beware of a sinful man. Well, they're all around us. I mean, let's be honest. We're all sinners saved by the grace of God. We're not talking about sinners. We're talking about sinful. People that are practicing sin. People that are contrary to the Word of God. A nation suffers when the lawless are in authority. And so, here's the thing. You know why we've seen revival in the past, Brother Gary? It's because men would stand up and preach the Word of God. And churches wanted to live holy. And the holiness of God was preached, right? And we understood that church was a different place. It wasn't a place to embrace the world. It was a place to be separated from the world. And so now, most churches you go in, there's no difference between the world and the church. And so we've got light shows and smoke things and all the rest of it. And we'll bring you popcorn and bring you soda pop and, just do whatever you want to do. We'll have church down there at the bar and we'll have beer and Jesus. No, that's not who He is. See, you can't bring Him down to where mankind is. We got to understand that He's way up there and we're way down here. And so we need to beware of the sinful men when we will not uphold God's moral law, society decays. That's what's going on here. This is not a Democrat-Republican issue. This is we've told God to take a hike, get out of here, and now we're paying the price for it. And Brother Johnny, we're seeing it in families. Listen, we're seeing it in the church. We're seeing it in our society. We've told God, we don't want you. And so we need, listen, in your life, now, preacher, we don't want to be too judgmental. You know, the Bible said, judge not lest ye be judged. You want to take that in context? The Bible also tells us to judge nothing before its time. The Bible also said we're not to judge another man's servant. But it's funny to me how God's people don't mind judging each other, which if we're children of God, we're another man's servant, we're His servant. Hello? It's amazing to me, Brother Jimmy, how preachers don't mind getting on the internet and on Facebook and blowing out every preacher, calling them compromisers, when what they ought to do is just mind their own business. See, we need to be very careful of sinful men because sinful men want to do things that satisfy the flesh. And when you've got God in the mix, you've got to get rid of God. Because, listen, if we're truly born again, you know what happens? If you start to be sinful, the Holy Ghost of God begins to be convicting in your heart. And so Solomon said, son, he said, listen, you need to, and again, we say it to our young people, you either are or soon will become like the people you hang around. Listen, mom and daddies, you're the same way. You get around a bunch of gossips, you're a gossip. Well, I'm not a gossip, but I've got some friends that just like that. Well, you're one of them. Got quiet, didn't it? I'm not a talebearer, but I know some. You know them because you're part of it. Right? See, it's sinful. And what we do is we'll condone sinfulness. And it tears us down, right? You ought to be around people that help you become a better Christian, not make you a worse one, right? Well, let me tell you this. Remember this years ago? When homeschooling, Miss Susan homeschooling got to be more popular, and here's what we heard. Well, now, if you take those kids out of the public school, you're taking the light out.
Right. Come on, man.
Well, it don't look like it did any good.
Come on.
Am I still on?
Yes, sir.
Don't look like it did a whole lot of good, did it? I mean, there's still Christians in school, and it's... What happened?
Good.
It wasn't the Christian kids. It's when we told God, get out of here.
Right?
And that, now we're in a day in the church, we're saying, listen, now we got to figure out some way to get the young people back in. I got an idea. Let's preach the Bible.
Yes, man. Yes, sir.
Well, hey, we got to get that old-fashioned junk out. We got to bring in this new stuff, right? We can't, don't be preaching on sin, preacher. Preach on, you got to be encouraging, right? It is encouraging when you get right with God.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
See, the more we embrace sinfulness as a society and as people and as a church, the more we embrace it, the less of God we've got. And we're trying to figure out what the problem is. I'll tell you what the problem is. We're embracing sinfulness.
Amen. Preach
We don't want to offend anybody. We don't want to make anybody mad, right? And so the church has lost its power, not because of the day we live. Listen, this is not the wickedest day that's ever been. But we're powerless because we won't stand on the Word of God. So he says, beware of sinful men. But then in verse 3, he says, beware of sensual men. Whoso loveth wisdom rejoiceth his father, but he that keepeth company with harlots spendeth his substance. So what he's saying is the man who loves immorality is contrasted in this scripture with a wise man. Listen, here's our problem. The reason that we are so messed up is because we don't know how to say no. Right? We don't know how to say no to sin. We don't know how to say no to the flesh. We don't know how to say no to the devil. And so, Brother Brad, what we do is we're going, well, you know, so what we've had to do is we've had to modify our doctrine. And so we're in this hyper grace mentality where it's like, well, you live any way you want to, but we're all under the grace of God. Just do that. No, you can't prove that in your Bible. Right? We need to understand that when the man becomes sensual, then we're rebelling God and we're embracing evil.
Yes, sir.
And so he's saying this, whoremongers spend not only their substance, but also their health and their joy. And the decay of our society rests very much on the desire for the sensual. Listen, you tell me what in the world a lady in a bikini's got to do with selling a Burger King hamburger.
Amen.
Not one thing.
Right.
Brother Charles, you go. Brother Charles ain't going to go to the mall, but I'm just. You look at the style, right? And it's all revealing.
Right.
Brother Matt, men are stimulated by sights. You know what Satan's done? Show more.
That's right.
Right?
You're right.
And then if you say things, well, you know what? Y'all are down there at church. You're a bunch of legalists. No, that's not it.
That's right.
But the least you ought to do is dress appropriate when you come to the house of God.
Amen.
I mean, ladies, listen, I'm not going to be crude, but you should. Men's minds shouldn't be on you when they come to church. Well, they ought to just keep their eyes to themselves. Well, I thought the Bible said something about not being a stumbling block. So the word modest means not to draw attention to oneself. Well, I don't mean necessarily cut too low and up too high. I said it years ago. You ever noticed all the T-shirts? All the lettering is right here. All the attention. You don't, ladies, you shouldn't want to draw attention to yourself. Right? But the world promotes that. Why? Because it's sensual.
Right?
And the more we get our minds off of God, the more sensual we become. And so we live in this perverted society, this perverted world where it's like anything goes. And if you say anything about living right, doing right, well, you're just old-fashioned. And listen, if you start telling people, Brother Jimmy, they ought to dress right to come to the house of God, then people just aren't going to come. And who are you to tell anybody how they're supposed to dress? Well, who's Burger King to tell you how to dress when you work there? Right? You go up this gas station up here, and there's a sign on the door that says, no shoes, no shirt, no service. Well, we don't call the police on the gas station. I mean, we don't picket the gas station and say they're a legalist gas station because they don't want you running around in the gas station half naked. Boy, if you say it in the church, you'll get... See, the strain is that we got to beware of sinful men. We got to beware of sensual men. Listen, by the way, let me say this and again. If that's all you're talking about, then that's what your mind's on.
That's right. You're right.
And if that's all you're talking about, and you say, well, that's just how men talk. No, not men that love God, isn't
right?
Right? I mean, not saved men full of the Holy Ghost that loves God. That ain't how they talk.
Amen.
Am I still in the right church? Because it gets quieter.
Come on.
Then he goes on to say, beware of the seductive man. Verse 4, the king by judgment established the land, but he that receiveth gifts overthrow it. And a man that flattereth his neighbor spreadeth a net for his feet. In the transgression of an evil man there's a snare, but the righteous does sing and rejoice. So, the man, there are men that seduce. Now, you see, the Bible tells us we're not to think of ourselves more highly than we ought to. Right? We're to walk circumspectly. And so, what happens is, people will seduce you with their words. That's what he's saying. He said, listen, son, don't let, when people flatter you, right? It's one thing when somebody says, now listen, Miss Billy, y'all were a blessing tonight. Thank you for singing that song. That's all right, right? We're to give honor where honor's due. But when we say, you know what, ladies, that was the best song I've ever heard. I don't know why y'all are not touring around singing. I mean, there's nobody sings better. Y'all are wonderful, right? Well, that's just flattery. They are wonderful. But see, what happens is, because of our flesh, if we're not careful, we get proud, don't we?
That's right.
Right?
Yes, sir.
And preachers, same way. Listen, these young preachers, I've seen it. Right? They preach, do a good job. Oh, I tell you what, you ought to be pastoring church somewhere. You ought to be over here doing this. I don't know why. I think God wants you to do this. Well, number one, you ain't the Holy Spirit. Number two, it's a whole lot different preaching one message every 4 or 5 months and preaching 3 or 4 times a week. And just let God use them how He wants to. You ain't the Holy Spirit. So, Noah, you preach on, son. See what I'm saying? And so, sometimes what to do, Brother Shane, that they do that because they're manipulating you. I know you don't believe this, but folks in the church, everybody ain't out for the glory of God. But Chris, I ain't trying to bust balloons, but again, this ain't my first rodeo. Some people want their way, and they'll manipulate people to get their way. They will seduce them. Now, I don't mean that. And don't get your mind out. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about in words, in flattery, in motive, right? And Solomon's saying, listen, son, you better keep your eyes. Let me tell you how you don't get messed up. You keep your eyes on the Lord. Get your eyes off of you, right? Because the Bible said only by pride cometh contention. You know where this comes? Pride. Pride. Well, I believe the Bible tells God hates it. Right? Pride cometh before what? Destruction. Haughty spirit before the fall. You get puffed up, guess what's going to happen? You say, oh, well, you know, it's not my fault. I got low self-esteem. Well, we ought to have low self-esteem. Because if anything gets done, it's God. And so the man who seduces, well, what are you saying? I'm saying there's the principle of integrity. See, the man who has integrity will do things because they want to glorify God. Man, this thing ain't about me. I don't want to promote myself. Listen, the other day when Brother Paul was talking about all those podcasts and all that stuff, I didn't know. I knew we had one. I was looking at that screen. I said, we doing all that? I'm not, they are. If I had to do it, we wouldn't be on anything. Man, you don't have to promote yourself. God will do the promoting, right? And so we got to beware of seductive men. But then in verse 7, beware of the selfish man. The Bible said in verse 7, the righteous considereth the cause of the poor, but the wicked man regardeth not to know it. In other words, he's saying, listen, The wise man looks at the poor and sees their condition and wants to help. The unwise man, right, the selfish man looks at his own condition. You know, when you're selfish, you can't have enough. Oh, if I just had $1 million. If you had $1 million, you'd want 10.
That's right.
If you had 10, you'd want 100, right? If I had $1 million, I'd give to missions. You ain't giving what you got now.
Right.
If I had $10 million, I'd give $5 million to the church. You won't get $5 now.
Right?
Right?
Good.
See, it's not what you got. It's the heart.
That's right.
And listen. Our whole world promotes selfishness. Let me ask you this. When's the last time you did something for somebody and didn't want anything in return? Now, I know there's some, but listen, I got to eat too, preacher. I know. And I'm not one. I think y'all know me. I'm not one of these guys, you know, well, now we're church family, and so everything, if you got a business, I'm not telling you I'll do everything for everybody in the church free. You got to feed your family. But sometimes we'll whittle that pencil down. We're like, well, wait a minute now. We're not going to take a loss on this thing. When's God going to get involved? When you just going to let the Holy Spirit prompt you and God says, now listen, go over here and help Brother Johnny. Well, what's Brother Johnny going to do for me if I help him? Well, let me ask you, who has helped you that you hadn't helped? See, what we've done, we've made everything, Brother Charles, transactional. If I do this, what I get out of it.
That's right?
Yes,
sir.
If I do this for you, what you going to do for me?
That's right.
And that's what the world promotes,
yes,
right?
Sir.
And again, I'm not saying everything. Don't you time out. I know how Baptist folk are. Don't you run up to Brother Jeff and say, now, Brother Jeff, you heard what preacher said. Now, I need you to build me a garage, and you don't need to charge me anything. Brother Jeff might build one that collapses when it rains, if you do that, right? But you understand what I'm saying? The Holy Spirit tells you, now listen, here's that missionary. Go up and give him
$20.
Well, if I give him $20, what am I going to eat lunch on today, Lord? That ain't right. You got to take care of me first before I'm going to take. That ain't what we're talking about. See, when you regard you above what God wants, then what happens is you may have it now, but God ain't going to bless you. Still more blessed to give than to receive is what I think the Bible said. Mine does. So you just do what God tells you to do. Now you say, well, preacher, there's a lot of scammers out there. I know that. I understand that. And to be honest, Brother Eddie, I've probably been scammed as much as anybody. Because I got my mama's heart. I looked at him like, nah, they can't help it, right? I've probably been scammed so many. But I'm going to be honest with you. And I've heard people say, well, we ought to be good steward of the Lord's money. And I agree with that. Listen, people come in here, we vet them. Here's what I did. This how I know I'm a sucker.
That's right.
So, Brother Dennis, here's what I let the deacons handle it. We have people come need help. I say, y'all boys handle that, right? Because
right.
I know they give me a sob story. Get the checkbook out, man.
That's right. Bless the Lord. That's good.
But I'd rather err too much on helping people than being stingy. I'd rather get to heaven and the Lord say, you know what? Now, you probably gave a little too much than to get to heaven and say, you sure are stingy.
Yeah, right.
By the way, I think he's probably going to tell some folks that.
Right.
Oh, I tithe, Lord.
Come on.
I gave him a 10%. Yeah, but I wanted you to give 20. Beware of the selfish man. Then verse 8 and 9, beware of the scornful man. Scornful men bring a city into snare, but wise men turn away wrath. And if a wise man contendeth with a foolish man, whether he rage or laugh, there's no rest. So what does that scornful man mean? Critical. He's critical. You with me? You ready? Pay attention. I'm going to give you something. God's people ought to be the most pleasant people on earth. But I've been pastor long enough, they can be the most critical. I've had people get criticized. Well, now I tell you what, I don't like this, and I don't like that, and it's too hot, and it's too cold, and the parking lot's here, and the food's here, and, you know, I had to get in the back of the line, and I've had it, heard it all. Critical. Why do they get to do that, right? Why, I've been here longer than they have. Why are they getting to do it, and I'm not? You know what that is? Pride. It is.
Yes, sir. Yes,
sir. You know what I've learned, Brother Kenneth? Something God showed me. Y'all have noticed we've had more visiting preachers this year than in 21 years we've ever had. God don't need me. Brother Holloway preached two good messages. Help me. God don't need me. If he took me out tomorrow, he could put somebody right in here. Can I tell you something? He don't need you either. Right? This ain't my church. This ain't my ministry. God wanted Mike Holloway to preach, and you got help from that. I'm not jealous. Amen. I rejoice, praise God, because I got some help too. Larry Wells comes in here and preaches, and the Holy Ghost blows through here. I'm not going to go pouting Sunday night, so I don't know why God wouldn't do that with me. This ain't my ministry. This ain't my church. You ain't my people, right? You're His people. He's just put me here to be the under-shepherd. This ain't my church. It's His. This ain't your church. It's His. Matter of fact, your life ain't your life. If you're born again, you were bought with a price. So please, can we just get over the whole selfish mindset, the scornful criticism of, that's not how I think we ought to do this. And just, if God's going to do something around here, the criticism, you're just going to have to stop.
Right? Yes, sir.
Right?
Glory to God.
Amen.
Amen.
Beware of scornful men. Critical. Those who make fun, critical of things. Often they'll criticize others, but probably criticizing you too, by the way. Then verse 10, I'm moving on. Beware of spiteful men. The bloodthirsty hate the upright, but the just seek his soul. What's spiteful? Those who are always looking to get even. Their wrath will be turned on you at some point in time. Then letter G, verse 11 through 13, the Bible said, a fool uttereth all his mind, but a wise man keepeth it till afterwards.
Good.
That word fool means moron. Or if you're down in our part of the neck of the woods, moron.
Right.
I think my wife changed it because I think I had beware of the stupid man, but I think she may put on the man that acts stupid, right? She's trying to soften it up for you. That's what it means. Well, what do you mean by that, preacher? What's that mean? Notice what it says. A fool uttereth all his mind, but a wise man keepeth it until afterwards. Now, what's the world say? Well, you ought to just speak your mind, right? Free speech. Say what's on your mind, right? I should be able to say whatever I want to. Well, you can.
That's right.
You have that right if you want to. But the Bible called you a fool.
Amen.
Say, preacher, I don't think you ought to preach. I didn't write that.
That's right.
I'm just saying what it said. Is that a fool? You're a fool.
Because
you know what happens? Next year I'm preaching through the book of James. Let me share with you what Brother James says. James chapter 1. Verse 19, he says this, wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. What does that mean? That's what it means. You got to learn how to listen. You got to learn how to not talk. And that word wrath means temper. You got to learn how to not lose your temper. So if I'm listening, right? If I'm swift to listen, swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath, I'm probably not going to say foolish things. So if God gave us two ears, one mouth, maybe He's saying, I want you to listen twice as much as you speak. And so the man that talks freely speaks his mind. They say too much and think they're righteous in doing it. The man who tells lies. You get yourself in a mess because you base your thoughts and actions off how you feel. I'm just going to tell them how I feel. Where do your feelings come from? Your heart. Deceitfully wicked.
Amen.
Who can know it?
Right.
So you just speak from the heart.
Good.
So you don't even know what you're saying. From the heart proceeds.
Amen.
So if we're taking in the Word of God, that's what James is talking about. If we're hearing, be not only hearers of the Word of God, be doers of it. We're hearing, listening, embracing, letting the Word of God saturate us. You know what it does? It changes our heart, doesn't it? So what comes out from the heart that comes out of the mouth should be different from someone who is not saved or carnal.
That's right.
Pretty sure that's what we're talking about. Now you can say, well, I'm saved, praise God. I'm saved by the grace of God. I got saved when I was 9 years old. But see, if you can't control what comes out here, you might be born again, but you ain't like Jesus.
Right?
Right. Churches have been destroyed because of this. Homes have been destroyed. Nations have been torn down because of the tongue. We do wise to learn how to be quiet and hold our tongue. Now, if you around people don't know how to do that, you know what he's saying to his son? You need to get away from them.
Amen.
If you're around scornful people, spiteful people,
right,
get away from them.
Right.
We got to learn, listen, not only do we got to get away from them, don't be them.
Yes,
and then verse 14, quickly, I won't go into detail. Verse 14 Proverbs 29 says this, the king that faithfully judgeth the poor, his throne shall be established forever. So now he deals not only with the strain on the throne that he knew his son was going to. What's the saying? The head that wears the crown is heavy, right? Everybody wants to be in leadership.
Right.
Here's what he's saying to his son. He said, listen, there's a strain involved with being a leader. But then he's talking about the stability in verse 14. He says, the king that faithfully judgeth the poor, his throne shall be established forever. What's faithfully mean? Well, it means we judge like God does. Well, when I look at my Bible, God looks at the poor and he tells us, take care of them, right? So he's saying this, there's secular consequences when we don't judge faithfully, when we don't live righteously, when we don't observe. Eventually people will get tired of being played and will rise up and overthrow. There's been a lot of guys, listen, I've been around a lot of Baptist preachers, and man, Brother Shane, I've seen them, and they've got everybody dressed right, doing right, singing the right songs, know when to say amen, but they manipulate them.
That's right.
Cool. They'll put up that for a while because it's God's man. But if you can't lead them, eventually they're going to get sick of it, right? And so a guy asked me years ago, he said, man, how do you get people to do what you want them to do? I said, what are you talking about? He said, you know, he said, you've been pastoring a while. And he said, I know guys, man, it's like that whatever that he tells his people to do, they'll do it. He says, almost like he has control of them. I said, well, that ain't me. I said, all I know to do is whatever you ask them to do, go do it first, right? I mean, if I say, hey, Brother Eddie, you mind going there and clean the toilet? You say, well, I'm not going to do that. I'm a deacon. You say, well, I've done it, and I'm the pastor, right? If I say, hey, you mind going out there and getting that trash off the ground there, Brother Shane? You say, well, no, I'm not the trash man right here. Well, I've picked up a lot of trash around here, right? I've never asked you to do anything I hadn't done. That's how you lead people. You get out in front and you lead. And if you lead, they'll follow. So he's saying, listen, when you act right to people, right, you surround yourself with the right people, then it'll go good. But if you don't, he said, there's consequences here on this earth. But then he said, there's superior consequences. He said that God is keeping track and will execute judgment. Well, that's what he did with David. That's what he did with Solomon. That's what he's going to do with his son. That's what he'll do to me and you. See, we've learned how to play the game. Right?
Yes, sir.
We've learned how to play the game. And a lot of places, a lot of churches, a lot of Christians, it's nothing more than a spiritual soap opera, right? I mean, there's nobody. We might be tied on this, but there is nobody that hates drama more than me. I can't. I don't like it. But Jim, I'm just like, fix it, right? Well, you don't know what they said. You don't know what they did. Fix it. I thought we were grown-ups. Adults, right? I mean, a lot of churches, the kids act more mature than the grown-ups do. But see, what happens is we get our little feelings hurt. We get our pride hurt. And don't realize people are going to hell. And look for a place to come where they can feel the power of God and we quench the Spirit of God. And grieve the Holy Ghost off the grounds because we won't look at ourselves in the mirror and go, I'm the problem. And that's what he's telling his son. You better be careful. Surround your people with or surround yourself with these type people. And then he's telling his son, don't be one of those people. See, it's one thing to point our fingers at everybody else and say, well, they're this and they're this. But the hard part is when you got to point your finger at the guy in the mirror and say, that's you.
Amen.
That's when revival can start.
Yes, sir.
When I can point the mirror and say, you need to repent.
Amen.
You
Amen.
Need to repent.
Yes,
so, there are people that destroy. They devise schemes. And who's behind the whole thing? The devil.
Amen.
Listen to what I'm saying. We let people off the hook because that's just the devil. But you've let him use you to be the divider.
That's right.
We're to be wise as serpents, harmless as doves. So I got to, Brother Eddie, I got to recognize it me.
Amen.
Now this tonight, you in your mind, you say, he's preaching to so-and-so. He's preaching to so-and-so. No, I'm preaching to me.
Bless the Lord.
I'm preaching to you. And the Holy Spirit's dealing with you.
Amen.
And he's dealing with me.
Amen.
Now let's stand together. Miss Susan's going to come to the piano. Now here's what you got to do tonight. I'm not telling you to come to the altar. I'm not telling you to do anything God doesn't tell you to do. But if you'll examine yourself, and I'll examine myself, I'd almost guarantee that there's probably some traits in there. In each one of us. Maybe God spoke to your heart and you just need to come get on this altar and say, God, that's me. and I want to fix it. I want to fix it. You know what keeps us from doing business with God? Our pride, isn't it? Our pride. I don't want to. I'm not. Hey, so and so did this to me. I'm justified in doing it to them. Nope, you're not. You really want to see revival? It's going to take some honesty. Honesty on our parts to say, it's me, O Lord. Father, I love you. Thank you for the Word of God. And I know tonight was one of those messages. It wasn't easy. It wasn't easy to hear. It wasn't easy to preach. But I pray we'd examine ourselves tonight, so we can stand before you holy. Continue to deal with our hearts. Get glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. All right. Well, thank you for being